Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Into your feet with me. Go to the book of Titus. We stand because we honor the word. We love the word. We respect the word. We believe it to be absolutely true. And I want to talk to you out of the book of Titus today. And we're going to read a bunch of passages of scripture. And then we will pray and we will sit down. And I'm not going to preach all of this. I will continue this sermon next week. There's just too much to cover it all in one day. But we're going to read first the book of Titus, chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Here's what it says. It says, to the pure, all things are pure. It's interesting that God is starting us here because we've been talking about purity the past few weeks. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Now go with me to chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech which cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say to you. Now let's read chapter 2, verse 14. It says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Now let's read chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey and to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared toward men, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us and through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Now, read verse 14 of chapter 3, and then that's all we're reading today. And let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you that thousands of years ago, you put it on the heart of a man by the name of Paul to pen a book, or really a letter, to a young pastor named Titus. But your word is so alive and it's so fruitful that still today it speaks to us and we can look to it to find instruction and guidance. God, I ask that you would anoint me as a minister of the gospel to preach your word clearly, and that you would anoint the hearer today to receive your word and to do your word in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The theme of Paul's epistle to the young pastor, which we know to be Titus, who Paul had left in the region of Crete to set up elders and appoint elders and to set in order things that were lacking, it's clear what the theme of the entire chapter is. Notice we read from chapter 1, we read from chapter 2, and we read from chapter 3. And in every single chapter, it always seems to come back to one theme, okay? And the theme is obviously good works. Paul is wanting Titus, as he is in this role of a pastor, to affirm constantly that God's people should be engaged in, maintaining in, zealous for, be careful to do, and not be disqualified for good works. Okay, so he is reiterating this over and over again, and he wants the young leader to be a man who also exemplifies good works. As we read that, he said, show yourself to be a pattern of good works, and he wants him to equip God's people to do good works. works and to urge the same people to maintain them and to be zealous for good works. And Paul says many other things during his letter to the young pastor, but it is obvious that his main agenda is that good works would not be forgotten, would not be overlooked. And in fact, as we read, he said, these things I want you to affirm. How often? Constantly. Don't just tell them one time, Titus, hey, be people of good works. But he said, I want you to tell them over and over again. Paul would write in another place and he would say, for me to write the same thing to you over and over again, it's needful. It's not something that is a burden to me. It's something that I want to do. Why? Because you need to hear things multiple times in order to receive them sometimes. So he's saying, I want you to affirm these things constantly, continually, over and over again, reminding God's people by challenging them and encouraging them towards good works. Imagine something being so important that the Holy Spirit would continually put his finger on it over and over again while Paul was writing. I can almost see Paul writing this letter going, really? You want me to talk about good works again? Okay, I'll write it again. Because he just keeps bringing it back to that point. And that's what's happening in the book of Titus. Only this topic is not just for those that are in Crete. It's scattered throughout the entire New Testament. As you look, I did not realize as I began to study this, how often and how many times in the Bible it mentions or talks about good works. Jesus talked about it. Paul talked about it over and over and over again. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul would write and say this, we are his workmanship, speaking of God, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, we'll get back to Titus in a little bit because that's the main portion of what I feel like God is laying on my heart and the foundation for what we're going to talk about for the next couple of weeks. But I want to talk about this scripture for a few moments. I want to break it down to you because we all know, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, that it's by grace that we have been saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. So what Paul is saying earlier in Ephesians 2, verse 8, is that you're not saved through works, you're saved by grace. But you have to realize you were saved by grace for good works, okay? And so he says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that we were created for good works in Christ Jesus. So understand that as a child of God, there are good works that God has prepared for you to operate in, to walk in, and to live in. And the fulfillment of those good works is part of who he has called you to be. So, have you ever felt like an underachiever? Like you're just not doing enough? Like I'm not offering what I should be offering to the kingdom. I'm not doing what I feel like I'm called to do or who I'm called to be. I don't feel like I'm making a difference in my community or in my church or in my family's life. I just feel like I'm not needed. I don't amount to anything. Nobody would even notice if I stopped going to the church. No one would even notice if I stopped praying. No one would even care if I stopped being a Christian. Nobody would even care because I have nothing impressive to give. I have no great gifting or no great ability. And if you have felt that way, you're not alone. And a lot of times the enemy wants to seclude us and make us think that we're the only one that feels like we're not good enough or we're not doing enough. In fact, most people feel those emotions. Most people feel that on a regular basis. I'm not measuring up. I'm not doing enough. We talked about it a few weeks ago. The Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not have fallen short, but fall short. What does that mean? In essence, it means we're never going to measure up until we walk in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, which has saved us and he has redeemed us for good works. So most people feel that way, but I want you to know that none of those things are true of you. God knew you before you were even in your mother's womb. And he prepared good works for you. That means God saw you before you were ever created. And he said, I'm going to create something years down the road for you to walk in and for you to do. I've already prepared it. I've already equipped you for it. I've already made you ready for it. I've designed it. It's a pattern that you are to walk in, that you are called to fulfill. So don't think that you have no destiny. Don't think that you don't have a plan that God has laid out and perfected for your life. He prepared good works for you before you were even born. And here's what I want you to realize today. Nobody else can do them. He created them for you to walk in. He created them for you to fulfill, okay? And there are people that God has prepared for you to lead into salvation. That's why you work where you work. That's why you shop where you shop. That's why you know who you know, is because there are some people that you know that I don't know. I'll never get the opportunity to talk to. I'll never even see them. But there are good works that God has prepared for you to walk in so that they can find the same grace that you have found and come to know that is in Christ Jesus. And there are people that God wants to use your testimony, as boring as you may think that it is. I'm tired of people saying, I don't have any testimony. Listen, were you lost and did you get saved? Yes, then you have a testimony, okay? And so don't think that just because you weren't a drug addict and you didn't get, you weren't mistreated and you didn't get, arrested and all kind of bad stuff, that you don't have a testimony. You have a testimony because you have been saved by the grace that is in Jesus Christ. So there are people that God wants to use your testimony to encourage and to equip them to fulfill their destiny. There are people that he longs for you to invite to be a part of his family. There are people that he has prepared opportunities for you to walk in. So don't let the enemy lie to you and make you feel insignificant, okay? So remind yourself, God has prepared me for good. He has prepared good works for me. We are his workmanship. That means we are his handiwork. And he said, I want you to realize that you are his workmanship and you have been created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. That's why Paul told Titus, I want you to affirm these things. What I want to do to you this morning is affirm the fact inside of you that you were created for good works. Because that word affirm means to state as fact or to offer emotional support or encouragement. That's what I want to do in your life today. I want to offer the encouragement that you need to fill you with the courage that is necessary to fulfill the good works that God has prepared for you. I want you to leave here today knowing the fact that you are called and God has prepared you for good works. I want you to leave here today knowing I'm not disqualified for good works. I want you to leave here zealous for good works, as Paul would write to Titus. I want to draw your attention back, though, to Paul's usage in the book of Ephesians, to the words where he says, you were created for good work. You were created in Christ Jesus for good works. That word created, it means built. But if you study it a little bit deeper in the Greek language, and specifically this word in the scripture is only used into regards of what God creates. Because when you and I create something, let's say you were to come up with an invention, you were to come up with some kind of discovery, you would still have to use natural resources in order to create something that you have envisioned in your mind, okay? So if you were to have an invention that you needed to use sand and you needed to use, water and you needed to use all this stuff, you're creating, but really you're taking elements that God has already created, which he made out of nothing, and you're putting them together to make something. That's not what this is talking about. When it says God created, it means that he made something out of nothing. You see, when we create, we need something in order to make something, but when God creates, he makes something out of nothing. That's why the Bible says in the book of Genesis, the earth was without form, it was void, but with his word, he created the heavens and the earth. It's the same parallel word between Greek and Hebrew, which means create, which means to make something out of nothing. It means to take something that does not exist and form it into something that is beneficial. It's like when Genesis says that God created the heavens and the earth. It means that he made something out of nothing. It is applied to only what God can do. So realize this, the God that made the Grand Canyon made good works for you to walk in your life. The God that created Kilimanjaro, the God that made Mount Everest, these things that we look at and we're in awe of, wow. I mean, as a Christian, how can you not look at a beautiful piece of creation and just be in awe of what God did and just wonder, how did he do that? The same God that created those mountains and the Grand Canyon and all the Rockies, if you've ever been to the Rockies and seen the Rockies or maybe just some beautiful waterfall or some piece of nature, realize the same God that made that out of nothing created good works for you out of nothing. It's the same concept, and he wants us to walk in them. That ought to get you excited to wake up every single morning and look at the day and go, God, what have you prepared for me today? The Bible says in the book of Psalms that he daily loads us with his benefits. Well, I want you to start looking at it this way. God, ask him in the morning, what good work do you want me to walk in today? What is it that you've prepared for me? What did you create out of nothing that you want me to do and you want me to fulfill and who you want me to be? What is it that I might miss if I'm not walking in the Spirit of God today to realize I was created? Listen, you were created for two things, fellowship with God and good works. That's why you were made. According to the scripture, he made man in his image because God wanted fellowship in the garden. So he made man. But in the New Testament, we find out that we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. You see, the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. It comes from the same root word of created. God has created something completely new inside of you. And that's why it says we were created in Christ Jesus, meaning we were born again, we were made new. If you are a believer, you are called to good works. It's just a part of being in the kingdom, part of being a son or a daughter of God. So now let's ask and let's answer, what are good works? Because I've been using that phrase a lot. Paul obviously uses it a lot, but what does it mean? Well, let's look at the definitions first. The word good means beneficial. Okay, and the word works means a deed, a labor, or a task. So in essence, what it is saying is it is doing things that will bring benefit to the lives of people that are around you. It's being a beneficial person. It's when you clock in on the job that the level of work that the employer receives, it gets better when you clock in because you're full of good works, because God has created. It's that when you enter into a relationship with someone, their life gets better and they begin. It's like when Joseph would go into Potiphar's house and all of a sudden everything's blessed. Why? Because Joseph was walking in good works. It's like when he went to the prison, it, same thing. And when he went to the palace, same thing. Why? It's that when you carry what God has created you for and you walk in good works, it will be beneficial to every single person that you come in contact with. But Jesus spoke this in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So obviously, good works are meant to be seen by others. But you are not supposed to glory in the good works that you perform. You see, this is where we get in trouble, is we want everybody to see our good works and glorify us. But God's saying, I want everyone to see the good works in you and realize, oh, it's not you. It's because you've been saved. And you weren't saved because of your good works. You were saved for good works. And so they will glorify God who is in heaven. So it shows us that good works are twofold. One, they are a sign to unbelievers. And two, they're to bring glory to God. So that's what good works are. So that is why Paul was adamant to his spiritual son Titus to affirm these things constantly, because there are people in our lives that need to see the goodness of God in action. And you, listen to this, you are the vehicle that God chooses to use to bring those good works to their life and benefit them and to show forth his glory and his goodness. There are people that you work with that need to see the goodness of God. They've never known anything but heartache and failure and disappointment and hurt and being broken and being lost. And God saw fit years ago to prepare a good work for you to walk in and to be a blessing to them. Maybe you buy their lunch one day. Maybe it's something that the Holy Spirit drops in your heart and you say to them as an encouragement. Maybe it's something that you do. Maybe it's offering to help them move. Maybe it's covering a shift for them. But realize God prepared it beforehand so that you can walk in it. Why? So that they can see that good deed and they can glorify your Father in heaven. See, you can't glorify God unless you have an understanding of who God is. And it's your good work that brings an understanding to go, they come in contact with the goodness of God. Because really that's what you're doing, is you are being Jesus to those people. Really, if you look at the ministry of Jesus, it was all him doing good works. It was all him doing good works. And that's why we're saved for good works. So what if we remembered tomorrow morning, I'm a vessel of good works. I've been called. I've been chosen. I've been accepted. God has prepared things for me. This isn't a trip to the grocery store. This is an opportunity to be used by God. This isn't another mundane Monday morning where I'm going to just, you know, try to make it through the week. No, I have an opportunity to be used by God. He has prepared things for me that I have been missing. I've not been looking to. Maybe you need to repent to the Lord and say, God, the good works that you've prepared for me, I haven't been walking in. Would you open my eyes to see them so that I can walk in them and I can fulfill them? Tune my ear to hear your voice so that I know what it is you're saying and what it is that you're doing. I can't wait to be used by you today. I can't wait to realize that the created good works that you have for me, I can walk in them. And so I guarantee you that the world would be a different place if believers were passionate for good works like God is calling us to be. The good works that God has called us to. So now let's look at Paul's letter to Titus more closely. And I really want these next 2 weeks, I want to teach through the Word of God. And I know that sometimes teaching sounds boring, but without teaching, the entire world would be stupid. Okay, so sometimes we need to slow down and we need to listen and really tune into the Word of God and what it's saying and be taught the Word of God. So let's look at this, because I want you to be equipped and prepared for good works that God has already prepared for you. So let's look at this more closely and discover and break down. We're going to start back in chapter 1, and we're going to look at each time that Paul mentions good works to Titus. So let's start in chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Let's read that again. He says, to the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. So Paul's first order of business when it comes to good works, as he is addressing this topic largely throughout the entire epistle that he has written, his first order of business is to deal with those who have impure hearts, impure motives, the man or the woman who he describes as being defiled within their mind. And it's not the blatant unbeliever, okay? He says that it's the one who professes to know God, but their works don't line up with their words. So he's not talking about people that say, I don't believe in God, I won't follow God, I'm not obeying God. It's people that claim to know God, but their works don't line up with the words that are coming out of their mouth. And so he defines such people as abominable, disobedient, and disqualified. Let's break down what all of those words mean. The word abominable means detestable. It would be a word that would be used to something that you can't even look at it, think about it, be around it without being absolutely disgusted. It disgusts God, doesn't change his love for you, but it disgusts God when we are people that claim to know him, but don't live in good works. He said, they claim to know me, but their works don't line up with their words. He goes on to say they're disobedient. This is an interesting definition. The word disobedient means unwilling to be persuaded. It doesn't mean that you can't see the truth. It means that you refuse to allow yourself to be persuaded that that truth is reality. There are people that go to church every single Sunday morning and get spoon-fed the Word of God and decide, it's truth, but I don't want it. It's right, but I'm not going to live in it. And they claim to know God, and they think that because they say with their words, but Jesus said, and he quoted Isaiah, he said, these are a people who they praise me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. This is the type of person that is disobedient to God. Because to be disobedient means you must know the command that has been given. You see, I don't punish my children for doing something they don't know is wrong. If they do something in ignorance, I teach them, because they're not being disobedient to me, they're being ignorant in that moment. So he's not talking about ignorant people, okay? He's talking about people that have heard the truth and have decided, I am unwilling to be persuaded of what you're talking about. So there's that kind of person, but then he says they're disqualified from every good work, okay? So God's prepared things for you, but you can disqualify yourself from what he has prepared for you. How? By being an abominable and by being disobedient. That word disqualified means unapproved or reprobate. That God would say, I'm not approving you to walk in this good work. Why? Because you're being disobedient, because you're being detestable. And these people, he says, abominable, disobedient, disqualified are such people who claim to know God, but do not follow up such claims with good works, proving what the Apostle James would say, that faith without works is dead. See, it takes faith to claim to believe in God, but there's no works that empower that faith. And I don't believe that we're such people. I don't believe that I'm talking to abominable, disobedient, or disqualified people today. Because it says, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. And so I don't believe that that's who I'm talking to today. But you still must know the truth of the word of God is what he's saying. Because if the impure, disobedient, and abominable person can be unqualified, then that means that the pure, obedient, and chosen person is qualified and ready to be used by God. So what I want to encourage you with today is don't be abominable, don't be disobedient so that you're unqualified. Be pure and be obedient so that you can be chosen and you can be used by God and you can understand who he has called you to be and what he has called you to walk in. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one this morning because we're going to get to two others this morning because we've been talking for the past few weeks about purifying ourselves so that we can be ready for the presence of God. And so I don't want to try to cover all that again. We need to be people who are pure. And I believe that it is even, God is showing us that once again in the scripture, he's calling us to be people of purity and people of holiness. Now, the second one is where we're going to start to spend some time. In chapter 2 and verse 7, Paul urges Titus, he says, likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded. This is in verse 6. Verse 7. In all things. Listen to this. In all things. Not just at church. But in all things. Show yourself to be a pattern of good works. Everywhere you go. Everything you do. Be a pattern. When I think about pattern, I'll give you a definition, a true definition. But first I want to give you my definition, okay? A pattern is something that you follow in order to achieve a desired result, okay? That's what my definition of pattern is. And when I think about it, I remember when I was a young boy, my mom would go to this place called Sir's Fabrics. I thought it was hell. I literally, we would joke and tell my mom, Mom, this is what hell is going to be like, a fabric store. She would be like, okay, boys, we're going to load up. And not only was it but it was in Fayetteville, Tennessee. It was about an hour from home. So we would drive, and we had the opportunity to either sit in the van without the AC running. Before you judge my mom, realize you guys are of the same generation. Y'all probably locked your kids in the car too. And we could either sit in the van, and we didn't have iPads and iPhones and DVD players and all that kind of stuff. We sat in the car and fought. That was it. That was the only thing to do. That's why you would fight. That's all there was. Or we could go in the store, right? Which was just rows and rows of ugly fabric that I could not stand to look at. But every now and then, I realized it's actually kind of fun to look at this one table that had all the patterns in it. Because I would find patterns for like cowboy chaps, or I'd find patterns for someone to sew their kid a police uniform for Halloween. And so I remember my favorite thing in the whole store, if there was anything to like about it, was the pattern table. And I remember sometimes my mom would buy these patterns and she would take them home and she would lay them out on the fabric and she would pin them to the fabric. And then that's what she would follow in order to get a desired result. Okay? So Paul is telling Titus, he said, I want your life to be like that sewing pattern that somebody else could take and look at and realize that's what I'm supposed to look like. Because my mom was pretty good with a pattern, but I would venture to say her seamstress abilities without a pattern, we would have shorts on one leg and pants on the other leg. You know what I'm talking about? But because she had a pattern and she didn't sew all our own clothes. Listen, we were homeschooled, but we weren't that homeschooled, okay? She didn't sew all of our own clothes. She would make aprons for my sisters and stuff. But a pattern is simply an example. It's something by which to copy or imitate. Like Paul would write to the Corinthians and he would say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So Paul could tell Titus, be a pattern of good works. Why? Because Paul was a pattern of good works. Everybody needs somebody to look at and see how life is supposed to be lived. That's why we are in such bad shape as a country, is because we've had terrible examples of mothers and fathers and teachers and coaches and politicians and leaders that there are some people that didn't have anybody to look up to. Paul said, you have many teachers, but you have not many fathers. Everybody needs somebody to look to, and you can be that pattern for good works in other people's life. A pattern is something by which to live by. So he's saying, Titus, show yourself to be an example to follow. One that patterns out good works. The Greek word for the word pattern means a model that is forged by repetition. This says to me, be consistent in showing good works. A model that is forged by repetition. Don't be apathetic. Don't be lazy. Don't show yourself a good example one day and a bad example the next day. Be a good example and show by repetition a pattern that can be counted on. And it may not, and I just think that it should be like this. It should not be strange or rare for us to be worthy of imitating. It shouldn't be a rare thing that, oh, wow, that was a good quality. We should be people that are patterns of good works, leading other people towards Jesus Christ. Show your children what it means to be a man or a woman of God. Show your coworkers what it means to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Show your neighbor what it means to be a Christian. Jesus said, they will know you're my disciples by your love. Paul would write to Titus, and I would say to you today, show yourself to be a pattern of good works. Be consistent. Show yourself constantly again and again and again. Show your coworker what the goodness of God looks like through the good works that he has called you to walk and to operate in. Be consistent. The third thing and the final thing we're going to look at today is in chapter 2, verse 14. Paul says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify himself for himself, his own special people, zealous, zealous for good works. What does it mean to be zealous? The word zeal, the definition we'll cover lately, but I just want to tell this quick story real quick. A couple weeks ago when we were not able to have service in person, we were snowed in. You guys remember that. I was planning to do the live stream in my office on Facebook, and Pastor Madison kept the children in the back, and Boaz has gotten to this point where he thinks he's qualified to be a college football player. Why, you might ask? Because he can catch a football, okay? He can catch the football, and so he told me one day when he caught it, hey, now I can play college football. And, you know, as a father, I'm like, sure, bud, you're on your way, right? Well, all he wants to do right now is be a cowboy and play football. That's it. I mean, it sounds like a good life to me, but that's all he wants to do. So they're in the back getting ready. Pastor Madison's going to try to watch the service with him and have church in the back. And Bo's got the football. He's like, come on, Mom, let's throw the football. And she's like, no, Boaz, not right now. We are going to put the football down and not throw the football right down. And he goes, I can't do that, Mom. It's in me. He was so passionate about football. He's like, it's inside of me. That's what it means to be zealous about something. It basically means I can't help it. I love it and want to do it so much. It's inside of me. It's just coming out. That's how good works are supposed to be for the people of God. It's not something we have to make ourselves do or try to do. He's saying, be zealous for good works. That's why God redeemed you. God redeemed us from the curse of sin and gave us eternal life instead of eternal damnation, not just so you could go to heaven one day, but so that we could be of his use to his kingdom while we're present on earth. If there was no reason for you being here after getting saved, you wouldn't be here. You've probably heard this before. If getting saved and going to heaven was all you were born for, God would not leave you on the earth. The second you got saved, he would take you and you would go to heaven and that would be it. You would live with him forever. But you, the Bible says, were created for good works. And that's what Paul is saying here to Titus. He's saying, listen, you've been redeemed. You've been purified from every lawless deed. So now be zealous to be in walking in good works. He saved you because he wants to use you. You were redeemed. You were saved. You were transformed. In everything that you ever committed before knowing Christ is forgiven, it's forgotten, it's put in the past. You don't have to let it hold you back. Now you can be zealous for good works, a people that are called to be zealous for good works. He gave himself for us to be able to be used by him to perform good works that we were prepared to walk in. Now, the word zealous, it means eagerly devoted. It means boiling over with fervency. It means, like Boaz said, I can't help it, it's in me. Right? It's just going to come out. Like when you set a pot on the stove to boil and you fill it too much. And as it begins to boil, what will it do? It will bubble over, right? And it will just get everywhere. We should be so desirous of good works that everywhere we go, every single person we bump into, they're encountering a good work. Why? Because we're zealous for good works. I can't wait to be a blessing to somebody. I can't wait to benefit somebody's life. I can't wait to encourage them. I can't wait to help them. I can't wait to meet a need in their life. I want to be generous. I want to be somebody that changes their atmosphere when they come in. Why? Because I'm zealous for good works. I urge you and exhort you like Paul would exhort Titus and the people in Crete, be zealous for good works. You don't know what it will mean to people that you'll come in contact with. You don't even understand. It will change this city if we will be people that are not consumed with what we can get and how we can get better and how we can get ahead, but how can we benefit somebody else? God has shown me this is how our church is going to grow, is good works. It's how it's going to grow. He created us for it. He saved us in it. Listen, how can you go wrong with doing what he's called you to do? This is how our church is going to grow, because our witness in the community. Because listen, people don't care how loud you shout, how high you jump, or how much you clap when you're in church. They don't want to hear your preaching if they don't see how you love them and if you don't treat them with kindness. Right. You can invite them to church all day long, but if you're not walking in the good works that God has prepared, there will be no witness in your life. There will be no power to speak into their life or to be there for them when they have a need. I'm believing that by this time next week, every single one of us will have impacted somebody, at least one person. Listen, if God created you for them, I believe every single day there's good works to walk in. So you have the potential for the number to be anything, 100, 50, 1, 7. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you do it. That you're zealous for good works. But here's the thought I want you to leave you with. And I want to encourage you this week to read the book of Titus. It's just 3 chapters. If you read it in 3 settings, if you read it in 1 setting, if it takes you all week, but read the book of Titus. Because his words are always more important than my words. Okay? But here's the thought I want you to leave you with, and I want you to meditate on this thought. You don't have to conjure them up or manufacture them. How can I say that? He prepared them.
That's right. That's good.
It's because I can already see people like, well, okay, what am I going to do? You're going to do whatever he tells you to do.
Right.
He already, that's what I'm trying to tell you. He already laid out the blueprint.
Yeah.
Your job is to be obedient, yeah, to be willing, and to be available. Your job is to stay pure and to be zealous to benefit somebody else's life. God, I'm zealous to walk in the good works, but I don't know if you've ever tried to do this, but I've tried to do things in my own strength and it always goes bad.
Yeah.
So don't try to do good works in your own strength, and realize you are not earning anything by doing good works. You've already been given salvation by grace. The good works are for others.
Yeah.
It's not for us. Is it in essence for him? Absolutely, but it's not to make him love us anymore. He can't love you any more than he loves you right now anyways, because he loves you with a perfect love. How can you go beyond perfect? You can't. It's perfect, right? How do you define that? But he already prepared the works before, and it says in the book of Ephesians. So you don't have to go, okay, all right, well, I'm going to do this on Monday, and I'm going to do this on Tuesday, and that's a works mentality. We don't live with a works mentality. We live with a walking in the spirit mentality, loving others mentality, being obedient to God mentality. And as we do that, he will lead us into the works that he's prepared beforehand. Amen. Stand to your feet. Lord, we thank you that we can come to your house and be taught the word of God. We can experience your presence. We can praise and worship with one another, and we can fellowship. And God, I'm asking that you would help us to maintain good works, to walk in what you've called us to walk in, to be who you've called us to be. And God, I ask that you would help us to dwell on and remember this week that we don't have to make it happen. We just have to be obedient to you. You've already prepared them. You've already laid them out. And if you say, I'm available and I'm willing, if just as a sign, would you just lift your hands today? Just say, God, I'm willing to be used by good works. God, I'm available. God, I'm here. I know that you've prepared them. I know that you've made them ready. And I just say, I want to do it, God. I want to be pleasing to you. I don't want to miss out on what you've created me to be, who you have called me to be, God, for my family, for my coworkers, for my community, for my church. God, I want to be full of good works. I want to be zealous for good works, which you have prepared, you have made, you have planned, you've already done it. So I'm trusting you that you're going to show me where to go, what to do, who to be, how to walk in it, God, because I believe that you are the author and the perfecter of my faith. And I just ask that you would lead your people today. God, I pray a special blessing over every single person that has their hands lifted, that is here, that in their heart they're saying, I want to be used of good works. God, I pray that you would show them, tune their ear to hear your voice, to be so keen to know who to speak to, who not to speak to. And would you protect us, God, from doing it in and of ourselves, from trying to make something happen. God, would you lead us and guide us into all truth. Holy Spirit, we submit and surrender to you. I pray a blessing over your people today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you, and may you be people that walk in the good works that God has prepared for you to walk in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys. Have an awesome week.